Awesome.
Dan has his degree in music from Augustana College. And every time I hear this piece, I too want to cry.
Amen.
Because it tells how out of the darkness of one's life can come a joy and a peace and a love that is not understandable in any other way than when we look at what God has done in Jesus Christ. So on this Advent Sunday, where we talk about the love of God, I want to go to the Gospel of John. And I want to look at that love of God as it is expressed by John. We all know these two verses very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that song talks about the love that will endless be. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but the world, that the world through him might be saved. Later on, we are going to do communion. And in the communion service, we remember the death of Jesus Christ. But in that death, what are we looking at but the love that God gives to us through Christ, who forgives us of our sin and allows us to share that life with each other. In Jesus, God provides for us our salvation. So John begins his story of Christmas and the birth of Christ right back at the beginning of creation. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. Now Jesus is that Logos, that Word that comes to us. And he was in the beginning with God. So while the other Gospels go back to the to Joseph or the Abraham to trace the lineage of who Jesus is, John says, no, we need to go back even further than that. We need to go back to the beginning of time itself, when God created all of us, shared his life with us, and that the Logos, Jesus, was there with him in the beginning. And he tells us that all things at that time were created through the Logos, through Jesus, who is part of God. And without him was not anything made that was made. Now think about that for a moment. Nothing exists without the creation of God. Now, God doesn't create out of nothing, but nothing exists without his creation. And it's there from the beginning. God breathed the life into us, we are told. And we became a living nephesh, a living being. And in God, in Christ, in Jesus, was life. And that life becomes the light of all men, all people, all human beings. Now we're told that that light shines in the darkness. And in the story of creation, it talks about darkness moving upon the face of the deep. And into that darkness, God speaks, the Logos speaks, and light shines. Amen. And once that light begins to shine, There is nothing that ever overcomes it. And so when we take a look at this story of Christmas, and we take a look at the Christmas story coming at that darkness of our earth and the shortest day of the year, longest night, we remember that into many of our lives, darkness comes. And yet into that darkness, we can celebrate the coming of Christ's life and light. O love that will not let me go, says George Manson. In the midst of the personal pain and suffering and darkness that was happening in his life, comes light and love that will not ever let him go. That happens with us too, when we recognize the fullness of the coming of God into our life. Now, he did not come without other people being aware. We hear of the story of how Mary goes to her cousin and finds that she is pregnant with John the Baptist. And so that man, John, was sent from God. And he came to bear witness to this light, that all through him might believe. Now, I've mixed up the words here, but I'm trying to give you the sense of God is never without his witness. God is never without someone there. That darkness that caused Matheson to write his O love that will not let me go, he was reminded of that by a fellow preacher who spoke to him about what had happened. And that's what caused him to go back to the manse and write that beautiful hymn where he celebrates something that goes beyond the deepest darkness that can touch our souls. And John tells us here that he has come to help us see and know that light that comes from God. Now, John was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. But he came to bear witness of the true light that gives light to everyone that's coming into the world. We live in a world where everybody says there's no such thing as absolutes. There's only partial things. But God says, no, there is a truth that is important to all of us. And the most significant truth is that he created us and that he comes back again to restore us to a right relationship. Yes. A right relationship with each other, a right relationship with him. For God created us to be in relationship to him, and then he created us to be in relationship with each other. Now, John tells us that Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. And we know if we read the Gospels at all, that the disciples, in all the time they shared with Jesus, did not fully understand who he was until after that horrendous, awful crucifixion that took place on a cross. And then a couple of the disciples on the road to Emmaus coming back have Jesus walk with them, and he explains to them from the beginning of the scriptures to the end of who he is and what he is. And they begin to truly understand how he must suffer and die and come to life again. And in that resurrection, show to us the significance of how much God loves and cares for each one of us. The Jewish people were called to be a light to the world, but in many ways had forgotten that and were trying to be a light to themselves, and even there didn't really succeed. But God comes with Jesus to share with us. So that's why at this time of year, when we're at the darkness of the solstice, and darkness may be in our lives, we need to stop and see the light that comes with the Christmas trees that we have. Why do we put lights on them? Why do we have the lights and the candles of the Advent wreath? Because they talk about Jesus Christ coming as a light to shine on us and give us new hope. He came to his own people, and his own his own people did not receive him. But all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. A father, a mother, always loves their own children. How many of our children have done things that were just gosh awful at times? How many times have we set out to do something that we thought was right just to find that it was a terrible event in how it was reflected on by other people and seen by other people? And know that we need something to allow us to get over that, to forgive us and show us the acceptance that is real and significant and meaningful. And that's been done by Jesus. And so we become, when we believe in Jesus, people who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men or people, but of God himself. And this is the real Christmas story. And the Word, the Logos, Jesus himself becomes flesh and dwells among us, full of grace and truth. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Now, what is grace? Grace is the free and unmerited favor of God, as manifested in the salvation of sinners with the bestowal of God's blessing. Nothing that we can earn, nothing that we can in any way expect, but God, in his love, gives us this gift of his grace and gives us the beauty of the birth of a child who comes to share with us so that we might know in his living how we might live and share with each other. Now, we don't have time today to go into all of the stories of Christ and his life and the ways he did that, but he did it in so many beautiful ways, where he was totally non-judgmental, for he did not come to judge, but to give us his salvation. For the law of Moses was given to us, but grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God at any time. The only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known to us. And in the making of God known to us in Jesus Christ, he also gave to us a very special celebration. We call it communion, or the Mass. Now, we here in the Pentecostal churches celebrate communion maybe once every month, some more, some less. I have the last name Wigglesworth, as you know. And people often ask me, am I related to that great evangelist at the turn of the century by the name of Smith Wigglesworth? Well, distantly, yes. But Smith had a couple of things that he did as a Pentecostal that were very, very interesting. One is, he said, we can't go more than 15 minutes without praying. And if he was walking with you down the street and a period of time had gone, he'd touch you on the shoulder and he'd say, we need to pray. And he'd pray with you. Another thing that he did that was very interesting was he celebrated communion every day. In his own home or wherever he was, he took what elements there were and he celebrated the communion service. Because in remembering the life of Christ and his death, he believed that we brought into being a significance of the real presence of God in our lives. And that's what people of different denominations have different ways of looking at the elements and that sort of thing, from consubstantiation to but what it's all about is understanding that somehow in what we do here in the communion, we are celebrating that Christ's presence is real and it is here with us now. And that's how meaningful and significant it is. Before we begin this service, let us say this prayer together. We all know it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Shall we get the elements?
Yep.
If you want to distribute, come and get the elements so that we can. And those people who are at home, if you want to get the elements, if you haven't already done it, as Don invited you to do earlier, you can get them now. Glass of water, a cracker, whatever. Anything will do. For we come to this time to celebrate the real presence, the love, the gift that God gives us in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is present with us. As we celebrate this, we remember that this is probably one of the earliest, well, in fact, from what I read from scholars, it is the earliest celebration that took place by the church. The words of celebration come from 1 Corinthians and Paul, and were written probably 15 to 20 years after the death of Jesus Christ himself. But Paul says, this is a tradition that I share with you that has been given to me. A tradition that goes back to the very beginning of the church and the celebration that took place. Remembering what Jesus Christ himself did the night in which he was betrayed. So everybody has the elements now? Okay. So the Apostle Paul says, "For I have received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let us pray. O God, as we partake of this bread, symbolic of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for all that you have done in giving us the gift of Jesus living amongst us,
yes,
sharing his light, his grace, his truth with us. Enable us by partaking of this element to so remember him and his death that we may forever celebrate this love that God gives us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us partake of the bread. In the same way also, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, the new relationship between you and me, given in my blood. Do this as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come." We thank you, our Lord, our Savior, that you have come, that you have lived, that you have shared your life with us, that you have given your life for us, that you died on a cross, and through your resurrection have made that cross into the greatest symbol of hope that we could ever have. Help us now, as we partake of this cup, to remember you, your death, your resurrection, and all that you have done for us. Amen. Let us partake of the cup. Let us say this prayer together. For the bread we have eaten, for the wine we have tasted, for the life we have received, we thank you, our Lord God. Grant that what we have done and have been given here may so put its mark upon us that we, it may remain always in our hearts. Grant that we may become mature Christians, that ours may be the faith which issues in action, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you, every one of you. And may you know the love of this blessing and of this blessed Christmas season through Jesus Christ our Lord. So now go forth in God's peace and God's love. Amen.